Wilson and Rush podcast at it again. It's tough to cut that song off, guys. I got to be honest. We got a full cast today. We got C. Rush back in the studio. C. Rush, how you doing on this Saturday, man?
I'm back off hiatus. You know, had to take care of some work, but, you know, I'm back. Glad to be back.
Glad to have you, man. T. Will, how you feel,
what up,
baby?
Yo? Pretty good, man. Great Saturday, Father's Day weekend, man. Just excited, man. You know, it's a family weekend, and we're rolling this Wilson Rush podcast.
All right, today we're going to get into the Heat Spurs, obviously. We got a Tim Tebow sighting, and, you know, we got to talk about Jason Kidd and, you know, do we think he'll be successful or not. But let's get right into the Heat Spurs. After that game three debacle by the Heat and LeBron James, he came right back and basically just told everybody to shh, real simple, tie things back up. So, T. Will, we'll start with you. What did you see from the Spurs in that last game four?
I seen a few things from the Spurs that they could have improved on to win that game. But to be honest with you, the most apparent thing was the Heat Big Three happened. That's what happened to the Spurs. I mean, they came out and they combined for those 85 points in game four. Game one through three, they only averaged 42. So obviously they happened to the Spurs. You know, the Spurs didn't help it by not taking care of the ball. You know, they had 18 turnovers on their home court that led to 23 Heat points. You know, you can't let those guys get out in transition. You know, you can't have tons of transition defensive opportunities for the Spurs. You have to limit those, you know. And the Heat, they took care of the ball. They had 9 turnovers on the road, you know, and credit has to go to that Heat defense. I mean, they put the Spurs offense in a ton of uncomfortable situations. You know, I think the Spurs have to take advantage of hitting open shots and taking care of the basketball at home, you know, with this 2-3-2 format. You know, Danny Green and Gary Neal, they responded with good numbers from behind the three-point line in game four. But the Spurs, they just won't be able to hoist that NBA championship trophy of Manu Ginobili. If he doesn't wake up, man, you know, he's played a ton of minutes in these first four games. He's been completely unproductive. He needs to find his way in game five, you know, so he can have confidence in game six on the road and maybe a game seven if necessary.
Now, let's talk about Ginobili for a second. Now, a lot of people are saying, where is Ginobili? Why isn't he playing well? But let me ask you this. How much should we really expect out of him at 35 going on 36 soon, T?
Well, just his overall experience, fine. I mean, he's been here before. He's been playing professionally since he was a teenager. So he's been here before. He's been with the Spurs organization for years. And so he has that experience and that knowledge that the Spurs need, you know, to get over this hump, to get over the Miami Heat hump. And without him, fine, they just can't get over that hump. And when we talk about Manu Ginobili, he has to be one of the most unorthodox players in the NBA. So to check him on a nightly basis, it should put someone in an uncomfortable position, and it's just not happening. He's not producing offensively.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously not producing, but also I think he's getting up there, and I think that it's not going to happen. I don't think we're going to see a 20-point game from him. You know, his passes are still there, but he can't attack the rim. It's like he doesn't even want you to bite on a pump fake because it hurts when he goes in and dunks the ball. So he may just be done, and we may be, you know, calling for him, and we may not ever see that Mono again. He's getting up there close to 40 now. But one more Spurs question for you. Now, Tony Parker started the game 4 for 5. He was great in the first half, 15 points. And then he pulled a Houdini in the second half, didn't see him at all. Now, was it the hamstring? Was it the Heat defense, combination of both? What happened? Because I think that game could have been different if he would have played the same way in the second half that he did in the first.
Well, we don't know what happened when they went into the locker room. I mean, if he sat down in the locker room for 5 to 10 minutes, that thing could have started tightening up on him. And one, you know, being an athlete, fine. You know, once that thing tightens back up on you, you may not get it back loose. So it could be a combination of that. And it definitely was the Heat defense. The Heat turned it up, especially in that third quarter. I mean, they came out and the Spurs transition defense, was in a bind in that third quarter, and the Heat ran, and they got some runouts, they got some dunks, they got some easy layups, and really put that, you know, Spurs team in a bind.
Yeah, they're gonna have to bring it, because this is gonna be an important game tomorrow on Sunday. But see, Rush, let's jump to the Heat. I mean, obviously the big three was the big three. So was it really that simple? The big three being the big three?
Well, A game for A game, I think we can all agree this. Nobody can beat the Heat A game for A game. I mean, top to bottom, when you have those three players at their age, you know, this is not the Spurs big three in their prime. You know, like you all have already mentioned, Manu's getting up there. Tim Duncan has been up there. Tony Parker's not even 100% right now. So, you know, when you start showing your age, you know, little hamstrings, they take a little longer than recovery time is a little longer than it used to be, you know. And as far as Manu, I think the Heat defense does have something to do with it, because, you know, those easy lanes that he's used to getting, he's not getting. Granted, his first step isn't as fast as it used to be, but I don't want to write him off yet, because it's hard to write great players off mid-series, you know. It's just showing that the Heat defense is exposing what may be there. You know, Memphis couldn't do it, and the team before that couldn't do it. But, you know, the Heat's defense and those young legs they came to play, you know. But this series is now a three-game series. So if the big three can stay like this and Dwayne Wade finds another quarter zone shot like he obviously found the other night, you know, they're going to be in trouble, because he had a bounce in his step. Like Bron said, he had the 06 flash look in his eyes. You know, he was attacking. He was aggressive. They went under those screens. His mid-range was money. You know, so when he's doing that and you gotta stop going under those screens, they're going to be a tough team to beat. And Bosch out-rebounding the Spurs front line is huge. I mean, that is a huge thing. Whether he scores 13 points or 20 points, if he gets in double-figure rebounding, they usually win.
Yeah, that's why a lot of people that are fans of the Heat really get frustrated with them, C. Rush, as you know, because they see games like this where they just go out and they just flat out punch the other team in the face from start to finish. Mm-hmm. So, C. Rush, can they continue to all three play well like this?
Can they? Yes. Will they? I don't know. You know, have they? Me and you have talked prior, you know, they don't always come punch somebody in the mouth early. You know, they do it when they have to. So will we get the same effort that we've seen in game four? You never know. I think that they realize they've won one in San Antonio. So we could see a team saying, hey, let's go win it in Miami. Or we could see a team that maybe says, hey, let's win it right now. Then we got two games to win it in Miami. You just never know, because it's night and day. Game four, they look like the best team in the NBA. Game three, they look like the Bobcats, like you said. You know, so it's tough, because you don't know what they're gonna do. And if they come out with their A game, nobody in the NBA can beat them.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, they're the best team. If they play their A game, they're going to win. But T. Will, this is what I want to discuss now. The Heat had two must-win games already in this series. They had two must-win games. So now, T, the Spurs face their first must-win game. Because obviously, we're not even going to ask the question, is this a must-win game? If they go down 3-2 with two in Miami, I think we can pretty much say this is done. So they face their first must-win game on Sunday. Do you think that they will play with that urgency, or do they would just say, hey, let's just relax, let's get this win, whatever happens, happens? Or are they going to say, this is the last game that we're playing on the Riverwalk this season?
Well, I think they're going to come out like they do every other game. I don't think they're going to put any unnecessary pressure on themselves. You know, I think what they really need to do, though, they need to tighten back up, because it seemed like as a group, as a unit, it's a little loose. They need to tighten back up like they did game one. You know, they need to take care of the ball and get back to their concept of their team defense. You know, and game one and three, you know, it seemed like they stayed out of a lot of transition defense situations. You know, but in game four, it picked back up when the Miami Heat started to run. You know, they just need to get back to to basics. They need for the basics to happen. Their stars need to be stars, which is Duncan and Parker, and they know this may be their last go round. So Duncan has to make plays from the high post. He has to score the ball when he gets it in the paint and in the low post. And Tony Parker has to live in the lane. He has to live in the paint, try to make that Heat defense collapse and get that ball out to the shooters. You know, their role players must own and execute their roles. You know, right now Gary Neal is shooting the skin off the ball right now. You know, Danny Green is having an unbelievable finals. You know, Kawhi Leonard is playing great defense. You know, but these guys have to come together at the same time, just get back to the basics and really tighten up and go get the job done in Game 5. And I really believe Popovich will have these guys focused for Game 5. You know, and they'll have to go out and execute their game plan and get back to the fundamentals of their defense and really feed off of these fans for the last game of the season, you know, down at the Riverwalk.
I mean, absolutely. Now, C. Rush, the role players of the Spurs, they got some young guys. Now, they haven't been under pressure this whole series. They haven't been under pressure. For one, going in, the Heat is the favorite going in. You steal game one. The Heat tied up game two. You win game three. And the Heat win game four. So there really hasn't been any, you know, pressure on the Greens, the Leonards, the Gary Neal guys. Now, game five on your home court, tied up at two, they got some pressure now, C-Rush. Do you think that we'll see those three-pointers coming up a little short, you know, bad decisions on defense, or do you think they'll be calm and play their game?
Well, you know, they have a very calming voice in the locker room and their coach, Coach Pop, but they're going to be asked to do more than they usually do because, for one, It is the first time their backs are basically against the wall. It's a must-win game. Two, we don't know the full health of two of their three superstars, you know. So Gary Neal is going to have to play more minutes than usual. You know, Green is going to have to play more minutes than usual, more than Ginobili. So those guys, they're not just role-playing roles right now. They're going to have to play big minutes. I'm talking 20-plus minutes this game, so we're gonna find out what they're made of. Now, when they're going against the front line of Heat like Wade Bosch, and they're not seeing Mike Miller, Ray Allen, that's when we're gonna really see how good they are, how clutch they are. Those threes when they're just throwing it up, it's going to the ocean. That's great when you're up 12 points. You know, you got a rhythm. But if it's a tight game, it's a 2-3 point game in the fourth quarter, which I believe it will be, then will you still have the confidence to shoot those shots? Will you still have the confidence to drive those lanes? Will you still have confidence within yourself in this game? Because this is not going to be a regular game, you know. So hopefully they come out and play. They're at home, so that's a huge advantage to them. I expect them to respond. But when it gets close and they're playing those minutes against that front line, that's when we're really going to find out what they're made of.
Yeah, you bring up some good points, but T. Will, the urgency in this series has obviously flip-flopped every game. The urgency has just flip-flopped every single game. Now, do you think that the urgency will be on the Spurs, or are you think the urgency going to be on the Heat saying, you know what, this is a crucial game for us? Do you think we'll see that urgent from both teams? Because you got to admit, every single game, we haven't seen urgency from both teams go together. Do you think we'll see that first game where both teams are saying this is a must-win game?
It has to be, and when you look at games one through four, this is the first game right now, game five, where the situation is just like game one. Both teams come in, first game of the NBA Finals. You know, who's going to take control of the series? And right now, this game five is pretty much that same situation. It's tied at two. Best out of three, two games will be played in South Beach if necessary, if it goes to game seven. So, yes, I really do think the Spurs understand the importance of this game. And also, I know the Heat in that locker room, they understand the importance of this game. Well, hey, look, if we take this game here, we got two to get one at home. So, yes, it has flip-flopped, and now I really think it's at a balance right now where both teams has to understand the importance of Game 5 and really turning the series one way or the other.
Yeah, I really do believe that this is going to be a very good game. You know, and I said the Spurs in six, but here's the thing. I really do believe that whoever wins this game is going to win this series. I really do believe that. And the Spurs have to take care of their home court going into game three, going into game four. I knew that they had to win those. I'm sorry, that was game three. Going into game three, I knew they had to win two out of the three, four, five, you know, with that format. So I knew they had to win two of those three games. So let's jump into, our freestyle round now. This is my favorite part. Like I
yes,
always
sir.
Say, the thumbs up, thumbs down. These guys have no idea what the questions are. Okay.
Not a clue.
So we're going to start with T-Wheel here first.
Figures.
Ocho Cinco got 30 extra days in jail for violating his probation in the courtroom. He was in there to submit a plea deal, and he smacked his attorney on the butt. Now, T-Wheel, do you think that it was a good punishment to give him 30 extra days in jail for smacking his attorney on the butt, saying, good job, thumbs up for if you think that was you agree with the judge, or thumbs down if you disagree?
Thumbs down. I disagree with what the judge did. I think the judge tried to make an example out of Ocho Cinco. You know, did he violate his probation or parole, whatever the case may be, or whatever he was on, by striking another person on the butt or whatever the case may be? I mean, to me, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I mean, the law is there for us to uphold, you know, in certain situations. I think if that's the case, I think you should arrest everybody in the NBA and the NFL for smacking each other on the butt for domestic violence.
see, Rush, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up. I mean, how arrogant can you be? You're, for one, he missed his probation. That's why he was in court right now. So the judge did him a solid by allowing him just to get probation, and then you're in there on headbutting your wife after, I don't know how long they were married, 30 days, then you slap your attorney on the butt. You know, leave that alone. You're not even Ocho Cinco no more, man. You haven't caught a touchdown pass in 2 years. You know, you can't be the center of attention for everything. Now you're the center of attention in jail, so you look where it got you.
I gotta go thumbs down on this one. Here's the thing. If it wasn't Ocho Cinco and it was Joe Dokes, everyone in the courtroom wouldn't even have laughed. They wouldn't even have noticed it. Because it was Ocho Cinco doing that, it was like, oh, it was funny. It really wasn't even that funny. It was because it was Ocho Cinco. So I got to go thumbs down on that one. Good luck on your appeal, Ocho Cinco. So, C-Rush, we'll start with you on this one. Your boy Terrell Owens said he could still get after it. You know, thumbs up if you're a GM, if you give him a chance. Thumbs down if you say no, sir.
Thumbs down. He's 41 years old. I'm sure I can find there's some hungry college guys still out here. You know, his time is over. You know, he played with Steve Young, Brett Favre. Those guys are done. He should be done. You know, when you're getting cut year after year after year, you know, it's – I mean, everybody can't be blind. Everybody, it's one common fact that you keep losing roster spots. So, I mean, he's playing in the Arena Football League. It's more like a novelty act now. You know, if you want to bring some fans in, yeah, let them come to training camp, then release them before the season like the Seahawks did, you know, or like the Arena Football team did. Let them come in there and have ownership of the team, you know. But, no, this is not 1999 no more, so, no.
T-Will, you signing T.O.?
Well, I'll go with a thumbs up on this one, and I'll go with a thumbs up for a couple reasons. Fine. You know, first off, I think watching T.O. through the process of being a professional athlete, I think he matured kind of slowly. You know, so as the older that he's getting, I think that he's maturing right now. You know, he may be coming into the part of his life where he realized the things that he did earlier on in his career were just for acts and shows. You know, I think he's had his slice of humble pie, and he's ready to be a part of an organization. He's to the point where he knows he's not going to be the number one guy. You know, he may not be the top three. He may be the number four receiver. But I think he's ready to go into an organization and to be a leader and to share what he's the things he's done in this great game of football with some of these younger guys and maybe make an even smoother transition to someone coaching staff in the next few years. Thumbs up, man. I think he's mature now.
Yeah, I gotta go thumbs down on this one. I mean, last I checked, you get older, you don't get younger. No one signed him last year, so I don't see him coming in and helping anyone. You know, when you're a young guy in the NFL, sometimes you're big arrogant, and like you said, he got his humble pie late. But that's the thing. When you get older in the NFL and you can't produce, and people don't want that circus act in town. So if you are a circus act, you better be young and you better be able to score touchdowns. And, you know, once you get that old, you know, there's no way. That's thumbs down. So let's go on to our last and final question of thumbs up, thumbs down. We'll start with you, T. Will. Doc Rivers said, I don't know. I don't know if I'm coming back or not to the Celtics. Thumbs up, T, if you think he should go ahead and walk, or thumbs down if you think he should go ahead and come back to the Celtics.
Please, Doc Rivers, please. If you're listening out there, walk. Leave the Boston Celtics alone. There isn't anything there. KG is 57 years old. Paul Pierce is going on 50. Okay, Rajon Rondo, he's not as young as he used to be, and he's coming off of an ACL tear. Get out of town while you can. You know, there's no NBA championship coming to Boston anytime soon. Get out of there. If you can go to a franchise like the Clippers or the Denver Nuggets or one of these franchises, the Memphis Grizzlies, everyone has a better future, a brighter future right now than the Boston Celtics. Please, Doc Rivers, get out of town.
T. Will says thumbs up. You know, he'll rather see him back in the booth than coaching the Celtics again, it sounds like. C. Rush, what you think?
I'm going to have to go thumbs up with this one, you know, and it's for a couple of reasons. You know, the rumors that are going around swirling, the two old men are going to follow him wherever he goes. So why not coach him there so the old man don't have to move? You know, you got one of the top five point guards in the NBA coming back. You got a young, great power forward in the rise in Jeff Green. You know, you got Avery Bradley still there. You know, they're not all the way bad, you know, so it's better than staying home. It's better staying home rather than going to the unknown. You know, you don't know what's going to be out there. You don't know what these free agents are thinking. At least you have these guys who are loyal. You know, you go somewhere with this guy, Jack in the Box, Dwight Howard. Hey, I don't know. He ended up fired again. So why not stay where you are? You know, with some guys that you know.
For the record, so you mean thumbs down. You don't, you think he should go ahead and stay. So you
go thumbs down. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm gonna go thumbs down.
Yeah. Well, I gotta agree with T. Will on this one. Thumbs up. Get out of there. I mean, get out of there. The average age on that team is 55. You know, you don't know how Rondo's gonna come back. Yeah, we think he's gonna be a good player. I have no idea why none of those pieces were moved. There's nothing that they can do with that group. These guys get slower and slower and slower and slower and slower every game. Not every season. Every game watching them, they get slower. So definitely, Doc Rivers, you're a great coach, and I want to see you be successful, so please keep it moving. All right, that's it for the freestyle round.
2-1 on the season. Here we go.
it's the asterisk by the last one because Jason Kidd got hired.
So. The question was, for the record, would you hire him? Not if he was going to get hired.
Well, I guess Prokhorov must listen to the podcast then.
All right, so let's get back into it. Let's start with C. Rush on this one. Let's talk about Tim Tebow. You know, your overall thoughts on Tim Tebow joining the Patriots, and do you think that he will produce in any way, shape, or form, no matter position, on the field?
Will he produce? Yeah, because we won't hear from him. He's going to an organization where Bill Belichick, he said maybe 8 things about this guy during the press conference, and that was it. Left it alone. You know, he needs to go somewhere where, you know, he's going to it's going to fly under the radar. If they use him in a goal line situation, great. But you know what? He's going to an organization that's used to winning, you know. So we're not going to hear about Tebow mania and everything. We got one of the best quarterbacks of our generation starting on that team, so we won't hear anything. He'll be sitting there learning, holding the clipboard, maybe going in on third and goal, running up the middle. But, you know, he's gotten a raw deal over his career. Now, let's just put him someplace where he can learn how to play quarterback up under one of the greats in my eyes. So just let him stay there. We'll forget about it. I don't want to see about it. I don't want to read about it. I don't even want to talk about it. You know, just let him stay there. Let him be productive. He's productive because I'm not talking about him. So,
yeah, T. Will, you know Bill Belichick is not a fan of the circus. He don't like the circus being in town. So it's got to be a reason why he picked up Tim Tebow. He does not like distractions. He shuts them down. And we all know signing Tim Tebow is the biggest distraction in the NFL. So what should we see out of Tim Tebow, if anything, T-Will?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, what should we see out of Tim Tebow? I'm going to go with C-Rush. Nothing. I mean, my thoughts on Tim Tebow are very simple. I could sum it up in four words. I don't have any. I don't have any thoughts on Tim Tebow. My thing is, I don't think we'll ever see him on the field as a quarterback for the New England Patriots this season in any situation outside of the preseason. I don't think there's going to be any packages at quarterback, none of that stuff. Now, only Bill Belichick know why they signed him. You know, I mean, Ryan Mallett, he's the backup. Kafka, he's the number three guy. And at best, he runs my scout offense on the practice team to help our defense get better prepared. So I don't think it's as big of a story as a lot of the media portrays and makes it, as Tebow signing with the Patriots. But I will tell you this. Belichick is a very smart man. You are right, fine. He doesn't like a circus. So we'll see soon enough his plans with Tebow. But in my personal opinion, I just don't think that, you know, this is a real big deal. I think the Patriots have bigger issues going on in their organization, like who's going to replace Wes Welker as a slot receiver and, you know, how long is Gronkowski going to be sidelined after his injury.
So T-Will, you don't even think that, you know, fourth and one, third and goal, you don't think, you know, that Belichick will even let him quarterback sneak it? You saying we won't see him at all during the season?
I don't think – definitely not at the quarterback position, for sure. I don't think so. My thing is, Belichick's really not the type of guy to say, you know what, on fourth down – We're gonna fake a punt. No, he's not that kind of coach. What he does on fourth down is, if he's gonna fake it, he's gonna put his team in the best possible position. So he's gonna leave his offense on the field and go for it. You know, I don't think he's with the tricks and gimmicks and all this other stuff. So no, I don't think we'll see him at quarterback, you know, for the New England Patriots this year. And you never know. I just mentioned Gronkowski. He might be bringing him in to be, you know, maybe Gronkowski's replacement at a tight end.
Right. Yeah, he's still out at the club dancing, but I don't know what's going on with that. But C Rush, I mean, let's put it like this. Will we ever see Tim Tebow starting at quarterback in the NFL again?
On a video game or real life?
Real life.
No, heck no, I can't. If Blaine Gabbert's starting and he not starting, no. I mean, it's no way. I mean, I can't see it. Now, should he? He should have got a shot. I think he better than my man in Cleveland, Weldon, whatever the kid name is, or McCoy. But he won't. So that's the only spot I can see him on in Cleveland. But, you know, hey, no.
Will we ever see that again? Because, I mean, we got to take this consideration. He did beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs, something that nobody likes to talk about. And no one likes to bring that up. They just say, oh, he can't throw, he can't play quarterback. You know, like there's 30 great NFL quarterbacks. But T-Will, will we ever see that again?
Tim Tebow is a starting quarterback in the NFL. If we do see it again, fine. It'll be maybe two or three seasons from now, but not in the near future. I don't see him as a starting NFL quarterback, no.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, you know, this is what I don't understand. Mark Sanchez was the worst quarterback in NFL last year. He was the worst. And I don't understand how you can't get a chance there. I don't get that at all. I don't care. I would have put in anybody in the game if you're running into the butt of the tackle and you're fumbling the ball in the NFL. Somebody else has got to get a chance, okay? So, I mean, you probably guys can hear it in my voice. I just love Tim Tebow. I love everything he's about. That's just me. He beat the Steelers in the playoffs. We don't have 30 good quarterbacks, so why not? That's all I'm saying. But obviously, we won't see it in we will not see it in Boston.
So you got a video game.
So let's move on. Let's talk about Jason Kidd. T-Will, as we all know, Jason Kidd was hired. He retired, then he was hired as coach. T-Will, I mean, do you think he's going to be successful?
Well, do I think he's going to be successful? I hope so. Fine. I mean, my thing is I never want to see anyone in a coaching profession fail, because time is the one thing that we can never get back, no matter how much money we make. I think it really falls on what assistants he brings on board. You know, he has to bring on former, like, head coach type of guys, like they were talking about Lawrence Frank and speculating about him. He has to bring on those type of guys, you know, that had that experience where he is lacking. You know, I think he'll probably be fine with the X's and O's because he's played for so many coaches and in so many different systems. I'm just eager to see if he can change, if he can make that switch from being a player and being friends with guys to being a head, becoming a head coach and demanding that respect. So I wish Jason Kidd the best. Do I think that he'll be successful? I think it really falls on who his assistants are.
See, Rush, I mean, you said the other day, why not hire him? So tell us, why, I mean, is he going to be successful there?
I mean, I hope so. I hope he can mold and get Darren Williams a mature mind, because maybe that's the connection that he needed and the guidance that he needs to take that next step, because he's regressed over the years. Honestly, he's got left behind by all these new younger guards. You know, if Mark Jackson can come in without sitting on the sideline and do it, why not Jason Kidd? I understand that Mark Jackson was in the booth for a couple of years. Even Del Negro, he got the Bulls first, you know, without being an assistant. So, you know, what's to stop him? You know, he's going to have to have a good team around him, like T. Will said, with assistants. But, you know, he's only going to be good as what the pieces that they put in front of him. You know, you can't expect him to take the same Nets team and do anything, you know. So his main objective should be getting Darren Williams to be a top five point guard again, because right now he has been the past 2 years, you know. So hopefully he has a good influence on him, and hopefully the team is a lot better.
Now, we all know by these coaches getting fired what success is in the NBA. Success is very simple in the NBA. It's winning the NBA championship. I don't think they're better than the Bulls with Derrick Rose coming back. I don't care who was coaching them this year. They couldn't beat the Chicago Bulls without Derrick Rose. And here's something funny that everybody keeps alluding to. T, you alluded to this, and C-Rush, you alluded to this. This just doesn't make sense to me. Okay, everybody keeps saying that he's going to put guys around him that has head coaching experience. Well, Lawrence Frank in 2009 was fired from there for starting the season 0-17. Everyone keeps saying that. So I'm trying to figure out, okay, you fired this guy because he couldn't get it done for you, and he started the season 0-17. But, oh, as a lead assistant, he would be a great fit. So to me, I'm not understanding that logic and the reasoning behind everyone saying that. You started 0-17, we fired you, but now it's like, oh, we're going to bring you back as a lead assistant. That's a better fit for you. I don't get it. You started the season with 17 straight losses. But T. Will, let's talk about Darren Williams for a second. Let's talk about him. As we all know, it's always rumors. He's never happy. As soon as the team started losing, he couldn't play for Sloan. Things didn't work out with Avery. And so he tweeted the other day, basically was in agreement with Jason Kidd because they're buddies. But as soon as that ship started to go down, couple losing streak, will he be that positive superstar, or will he go back to that same D. Will blaming everybody else?
Well, I don't think bringing another head coach on board is going to change anything. You know, you are who you are, especially when you're comfortable in yourself and comfortable with the money that you're making and financially. You are who you are. I mean, there's no reason to mask anything. So when the time is rough, when it goes rough for him in New Jersey, he'll be right back at it. You know, he'll say something in the media. It'll be a point in time during the NBA season where Darren Williams sounds off against Jason Kidd. It's just going to happen. You know, and that's our game. That's our game today. Even if the Nets are one of the top teams in the East, everyone in the NBA takes a little slide every year, you know. So when they hit that rough patch, I do think there will be something there with D. Will and maybe J. Kidd. If not even D. Will, you know, the media anyway is gonna say, look, was Jason Kidd ready for this job? So he needs to be, you know, just have thick skin that he's in this head coaching role, and regardless who he brings aboard, just take control of it. You're the leader of this franchise, and he just needs to worry about leading this franchise in the right direction.
Right. See, I mean, because it's going to be a lot of pressure. You're right. I mean, as soon as something go wrong, it's, oh, my goodness, he can't coach. So we know that's coming. But see, Rush, I'm going to ask you this. What can he do differently with this team that we didn't see this year? Obviously, I still can't believe they lost to the Bulls. Like, I still can't believe that myself. But what can he, looking at this team, see, Rush, what can he say, okay, these are the things that I can do differently to make this team more successful?
I mean, X's and O's, I mean, I'm not sure. Maybe, like I said, maybe he can get Darren Williams playing better. Maybe he can get Joe Johnson to be a max player, which he's not. But, you know, that's what they signed him to. Maybe he can get a lot out of Crash, Gerald Wallace. Maybe he can make Brook Lopez play more consistent. Maybe. We don't know these things. We don't know his motivational tactics. We don't know a thing because, obviously, we've never seen him coach before. So, only thing we can do is just sit back and wait and see. You know, with this roster as it is, they're going to be in the same spot. Like you said, with Derrick Rose coming back, are they better than the Bulls? No. Are they better than Indiana? No. Are they better than Miami? No. Are they better than New York? No. You know, they're the second rate team in the state of New York. You know, so it's a lot to be unknown, and a lot of answers are going to be given to us once the season starts.
Real quick, T. Will we be having a show next year talking about him being fired?
I don't think being fired, but you have to understand too, with Jay Kidd playing for the owner that he has also, he said he wants the NBA championship and he wants it soon. So what I do think is Jason Kidd comes in under a short leash already. So I think his room for mistakes and errors, I think he has just a small amount of room for that. So he really has to hit the ground running in his organization and his head coaching career.
See, Rush, this time next year, are we having a show talking about his dismissal?
I hope not. They owner think it's baseball. He think they're the Yankees. You can't just buy, you know, unlimited players in the NBA. You can buy a couple, but you know, you can't do it that way. I just think that we won't be having this conversation next year, but the year after, yes.
All right. Well, since you guys both don't want to answer the question, I'll say yes. They can't beat Indiana. They can't beat the Bulls. They can't beat the Heat. He wants a championship. They can't even get out the East. So I'm going to go out there and say, since you guys don't want to answer, that we will be having this discussion next year looking for his replacement. And I hope I'm wrong, but you can't beat three or four teams in the East. So you at least got to make the finals. They give him a chance if you say, hey, okay, he made the finals. Maybe next year we'll get over that hump. But you can't go out in the first or second round. We'll be having the same conversation next year about his replacement, and they'll go out and get a savvy veteran.
Just for the record, I just want to let you know, I do not think they'll be having this conversation next year. I think he has a short leash, but I don't think he'll be dismissed next year. I think he'll be under the hot seat if he doesn't get it done this year.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, like I said, this guy's a billionaire. These other guys are getting fired for setting franchise records. He has to at least go to the finals to retain that job. At least. And there is no way they're going to the finals next year. It's just not going to happen. Unless Joe Johnson, like C. Rush said, if Joe Johnson turns into this player that his bank account reflects, then maybe yes. But there's no way they're making the finals. I don't even think they're coming close to the finals. So I think we'll be right back here again next year talking about his replacement. C. Rush, you wanted to add something?
I just say I don't think so. That's just my heart saying no. I don't think we'll be talking about him next year. That roster has to get. I mean, even though we know he doesn't understand the concept of how the NBA works. You know, he got to understand that with this roster, he can't win the championship. But Jason Kidd shouldn't take the blame for what this roster is going to do next year. No, we shouldn't be.
Yeah, I think he's got to make the finals, and I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, you look, guys are setting franchise records. They're setting records. They were in Coach of the Year, and they're not coming close to the finals. They're done. They're fired. So I don't see anything different for him. I think this, like you said, the water to wine analogy, that's what they expected him to do. They're expecting him to get to the finals. When PJ was fired from the Nets this year, he said anything short of him making the finals, he knew he was out. So it wasn't a surprise to him. So and PJ actually did a good job. Like, I think he did a good job besides that debacle against the Bulls. So real quick before we get out of here Iguodala said, T-Will, he said that he's going to opt out. Do you think we got a chance in Detroit to sign him? You think that's a real issue here?
Yes, I think we have a realistic chance of signing him, especially with Mo Cheeks being here. I think we have some things to offer him. We have a solid 4 and 5, a nice future in our point guard, Brandon Knight. So I think it's something for him here. I don't think he may get as much money with other organizations. I think they may look at him in a different role than we would here in Detroit. So I think that's something that we can offer him here in Detroit that other organizations won't be able to offer him.
If we get him, I would be very impressed with this hire. Me personally, I wanted Nate McMillan. But if we can get AI, hey, I'll take him. See Rush, what you think? You want to see him in that Piston jersey?
Iggy and OJ, baby. That's what I want. Those free agents I want. Iggy, OJ, and Draft Muhammad. I would love it.
Yeah. Well, all right. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Once again, send us emails, WilsonRushPodcast@gmail.com. We are also on iTunes now, so you can just search us, Wilson Rush Podcast, subscribe to us, take a listen that way. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. We'll be back next week to talk about this big game 5. Whoever you're cheering for, good luck. And, T-Will, you had a good show. You had fun, man?
You know I have fun every time, man. This is what we do, man. This is what we do. We bring that conversation, man, from the kitchen to the internet.
See, Rush, sorry, we do not pay for off days. So I hope you had a good time today.
Hey, it's all right. I make up for it when T-Will biz one day.
All right, guys. We're out. We hope you enjoyed the show. We always represent 7 Mile. We out. I'm chilling in my 4.6 ever life. About to be VIP for the night. Shorty in a drop top V made a ride. Pull up to a bumper, baby. Beat twice. Jumped out the whip like I was the police. Didn't have a gun, but my wrist set free.